It's nice to live in a world now where wrestling isn't just one thing. This past week, I watched AEW, NXT, then we'll get to both of those, Old School Nitro, and we'll get to that, but also NWA Power, the return of NWA to a weekly TV show of sorts. Yes, it's on YouTube, but it's good. It's old school style TV wrestling. I mean, it is TBS 605 Saturday Night Wrestling. It's in a studio. They have an interview space, a command center, and a ring within 5 feet of each other, and that's really cool looking. And it just feels good. They had a good old squash match with the Dawsons squashing two guys that I didn't even learn their names. James Storm beat somebody. Again, I didn't catch his name. Didn't matter, he only lasted long enough to get a super kick and go down. If he's important, I'll learn his name later. And then Nick Aldis and Tim Storm had a beautiful world title match straight out of Georgia in the 1980s. It was great. Yes, it has drawbacks. One, Jim Cornette on commentary. Yes, he's good at commentary, but I just can't stand the man's attitude towards, well, wrestling, the LGBTQIA plus community, and Kate or Jackie, correct me if I got either of those wrong. Race. There's just a lot of people better for that position than Jim Cornette. Maybe they'll realize that. Maybe they won't. But all in all, it's good to have some new and exciting wrestling. Is it enough to do a full review on? No, not yet, clearly. But as time goes on, we'll have a full review of NWA Power in the show. Hopefully, next week we get a little more women's wrestling, and by a little more, I mean any at all, because the only women's action we saw this whole match was when Nick Aldis's arm candy took a clothesline. But aside from that, and Jim Cornette in the booth, I had no real problems with this show. There's your NWA Power review. More to come as we have more exciting NWA Power news. But let's get into the show proper. This is the Gift of Podcast. What's up, guys? This is the Gift of Podcast. I am the Monday Night Delight, and we are back. Y'all, last week's show was something of passion and fury, and y'all did not take it very well. A lot of you did, a lot of you were supportive, a lot of you didn't say anything, and those are some of my favorite responses. But can we talk about the other people just for a second? I posted a couple times during the week. I got some support from Jeff and Kate and a lot of people from around WrestleLike Radio and a lot of the people who listen to WrestleLike Radio, and I thank everybody for that. I don't talk a whole lot about struggles in this area, and I haven't had them in a very long time. But when all said and done, to be encouraged to end my own life over my opinions on wrestling, it's almost not worth doing the show. So why then am I sitting here behind a microphone again? Because I like doing the show. So if you like this show, listen to this show. If you like my opinions, listen to this show. If you don't like my opinions, but you can express that in a healthy manner and respectfully disagree, or come to Twitter and voice your opinion, I'm okay with that. But if your opinion is because of my opinions on wrestling, I should be dead? You need not apply here. You're unwelcome, and you go on about your business. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to get out before I get into this next bit. I didn't watch any main roster WWE this week. I watched Dancing with the Stars last Monday. And if you want to know the truth, I had a good time. Lamar Odom got eliminated, which was fair. He was the worst dancer. Sean Spicer probably should go tonight. I'll be watching instead of Raw. I don't care about the draft. WWE drafts used to be one of my favorite things. Don't care about that. I will admit, I care a little bit about Bayley's heel turn. But I don't have any faith of them to do anything right with that. So, I reckon just as soon as she can pull back a ponytail from that bob, she'll have ponytail up again. But I'm not going to get into this again. At least, no more than I already have. I'm going to enjoy my life on Mondays and Fridays, watch my wrestling on Wednesdays and Tuesdays now with NWA Power and Sunday afternoons for Nitro, and go about my business. So let's get down to business. To defeat the Huns. No, that's China. This is wrestling. Let's get into the Triple W. Who won Wednesday? We, of course, have the Wednesday Night Wars going on. Week one was won on this show by NXT, but in the ratings by AEW. If you remember correctly, we have three criteria to judge on: the match of the night, the tag team matches, and the women's matches on each show. Sometimes the tag team matches will be the match of the night. Sometimes the women's matches will be the match of the night. But in which case, they will be a part of both categories. And it just so happens that AEW's match of the night was a tag team match. It was the first match in the tag team tournament to crown new title holders. It was the number one seed Young Bucks and the number eight seed Private Party. They showed SCU and Helico and Jack Evans sitting at ringside now. And Jack Angelico and Jack Evans, I don't even believe, are in the tournament. I believe they lost out to the Dark Order. Is that what they're called? Evil Uno and Stu Grayson? Is that his name? I'm still learning names here on NXT, or excuse me, AEW. But this was the Young Bucks and Private Party. And I could tell very early on that they were building up that the Private Party was going to beat the Bucks in this huge, huge upset. Now, I've seen the Bucks live. I saw them against, I believe it was SC, it was the Bucks and Flip Wilson versus SCU at Supercard of Honor 2018 in New Orleans, a show that I'm still technically sitting at. And when all was said and done, that was a great match too. It was the best ladder match I've ever seen. It's one of the best tag matches I've ever seen live. This match also very, very good. It started out with Isaiah Cassidy and Nick Jackson, and Nick just starts going for super kicks, and Isaiah Cassidy has him scouted. He's ducking kicks. He's catching kicks. He threw one kick into Matt Jackson, I do believe, or maybe that was on something else I watched this week. But eventually, the Bucks would cut off the Private Party, and they would, and Matt Jackson would powerbomb Isaiah Cassidy on the entrance ramp. That would effectively make this a handicap match as Mark Quinn took on the Young Bucks. And for several minutes, he just got hit with big move after big move. He got locked in submissions. He would go for the hot tag. Isaiah Cassidy had fought his way to the corner. He makes this diving reach, and Nick Jackson pulls Isaiah Cassidy off the top rope. And you just have this moment of, oh my God, he was so close. So well done there. They do get the actual hot tag to Cassidy, but because he's selling his bad backs, he gets cut off, I believe, by Matt Jackson. He gets hit with three rolling Northern Lights suplexes. Mark Quinn comes to save him, but he gets hit with a double Northern Lights suplex along with Isaiah Cassidy. The Bucks get Mark Quinn up for the Meltzer driver, but Cassidy pulls Matt off the apron, and Isaiah Cassidy turns this into a victory roll, into a cradle, and the Private Party pins the Young Bucks to move on in the tournament. This was great. This is Cinderella's story. This is the number 16 beating the number one seed in the NCAA tournament and moving on. How far will they go? I don't know, but I would love to see them get to the finals. But they will take on the winner of, I believe, the Best Friends, and the Lucha Brothers. So they got a tough road to hoe here, but if they can beat the Lucha Brothers and then probably SCU or the Dark Order, one or the other, then you got yourself a great Cinderella story here. Love this match. Love this story. Let's look at the match of the night over on NXT, and this really only came down to one of two matches. There were only two decent matches on this NXT, and then a bunch of filler in between. The opener was Lio Rush and Drew Gulak for the NXT Cruiserweight title. I'm giving that the edge as match of the night. I know that out there, some of you, including my guest would be Kate, are yelling at me for not picking Kushida and Walter, but I thought this was the better match. It was the classic story of speed versus power. Gulak is trying to lock in the submissions, wear down Lio Rush so that he can lock in the Gulak, tap him out. He starts immediately with a drop kick, and Rush just sidesteps him, and that sets the tone for Rush, who is just being faster and more flippy than Drew Gulak. Rush goes to the top rope, but Gulak drop kicks him, not just down, but to the floor onto a pile of NXT guys. Rush would get back in the ring. He would go for the come up, which is his bottom rope sit out springboard stunner. Those are too many letters and words. But Gulak would turn that into the Gulak. Rush would turn that into a dragon sleeper, hit a top rope splash, actually hit the come up, and then hit the Eddie Guerrero frog splash on Eddie's 52nd birthday for the win and the Cruiserweight title. Post-match, Gulak would present the title to Rush himself in a show of sportsmanship, and Lio Rush is back in the game, and this was a great match. But it does not compare to the Bucks and the Private Party, and so match of the night goes to AEW. Let's talk women's wrestling. NXT had two women's matches, and they would have been better off to have none. One of them saw Bianca Belair versus Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai just coming off this knee injury. She won a match last week against somebody. I honestly don't remember. It wasn't Mia Yim. It was Tenora Kanchi. That's who it was. Anyway, she won that match. She's on a little bit of a momentum roll. Bianca Belair, the EST. I'll be honest, I don't like Bianca Belair. I don't like the gimmick. I don't like the hair thing. I don't like the dance. I don't like the purple lipstick. I don't like anything about this character. And I especially don't like that she beats Bianca Belair here in a much too long match to break Dakota Kai's momentum. And we'll get to what happened after the match in the bonus round, but I did not like this here. The other match, Rhea Ripley versus Aaliyah. In 2 minutes, Rhea Ripley has destroyed Aaliyah, locks in this scorpion leg lock with her arms, and turns that into a giant swing, slams Aaliyah, and Aaliyah makes this great scream and panic face as she goes down, and taps out Aaliyah with this move. Rhea Ripley will get up. She says that Shayna Baszler has beaten everyone in NXT, but she hasn't beaten her, and she was coming for her. That was great. So that was great there. Let's talk about women's wrestling over in AEW. They had one match, Rio and Britt Baker, DMD, versus Bea Priestley and Emi Sakura. Rio's a great babyface in peril. I mean, let's just be honest, she weighs 98 pounds. You put her in there with a girl who weighed 110, and she would be a monster next to Rio. Rio gets the crap kicked out of her for a good portion of this match. Bea Priestley and Britt Baker brawl on the floor. They let that go for a bit. Eventually, Rio will hit a double stomp on Emi Sakura. We'll get the heat. We'll start to make a comeback. Britt Baker will hit a stunner. Rio will hit a double stomp on Sakura. She'll go to the outside to keep Bea Priestley from getting in the ring. And Britt Baker will lock in the Rings of Saturn and a mandible claw simultaneously. And Emi Sakura will tap out. The winner of this match will be Britt Baker and Rio. If this was just Rhea and Aaliyah versus the women's tag in AEW, I would give the edge to NXT. But I'm going to be real honest. It does not matter how good that match was, because it was a squash. The Bianca Belair match was so long and so dull and had the wrong winner. I'm going to give the edge once again to AEW. Let's talk tag matches. We've already talked about the tag match of the night over on AEW. Let's talk about the one on NXT. It was the Forgotten Sons versus Breezango. Breezango was supposed to take on Ever-Rise. I don't know who that is. But Jackson Ryker killed them. And then he sent Cutler and Blake to the ring for this match. I'm not even going to dignify the discussion. The Bucks and Private Party were better. Clearly. Without a doubt. I still don't know which Forgotten Son is which, aside from Jackson Ryker. He's the big one with pants. So another point to AEW. So at this point, it's 3-0 AEW. Let's talk about the bonus round. We got bonus points. Definitely one big bonus point for NXT is the Kushida versus Walter match. A great match. Don't get me wrong. That match was better than most anything else on AEW, but not as good as the Bucks and the Private Party. Over on AEW, we got bonus points for a couple lines on commentary. During the opening segment, when the Inner Circle, that would be Jericho, Ortiz, Santana, Jake Hager, and Sammy Guevara, are introducing themselves, the people are chanting, "We the People," at Jake Hager. Jericho will pop up and say, "No, We the People is dead. It was a bad idea by stupid creative." I love this line. And not just because I had a full flip out at WWE last week, but it's a shot in a wrestling war. It is something that needs to happen to make the war seem important. And I love so many people got their underwear in a bunch over this. Like, Jericho's classless. Jericho's no damn good. Jericho shouldn't be doing that. Y'all, if this was not a week where, I mean, The Fiend and Kofi and Kane and all this other just nonsense WWE did, I'd agree with you. But it was the perfectly timed shot at WWE in a perfectly timed battle. I say let it ride. I say it was awesome. I say don't worry about classlessness when it's true. I also want to clue into one thing that JR said during the women's match when Brie Baker and Britt Priestley are brawling on the floor. He said, "Referee Aubrey Edwards letting this brawl happen, good on ref discretion for keeping the match going when the fans want to see it." Another dig, and another good dig, and I see no problem with it. So, another bonus point for AEW. Darby Allin, who gets a bonus point for his match with Sammy Guevara, so there's 3 bonus points there, also get a bonus points for during the brawl at the end of the show when the Elite and Dustin are taking on the Inner Circle. Darby Allin would come to the ramp, would skateboard down the ramp on a skateboard up into a flying knee or a fist punch or something on Chris Jericho and then beat him up with a skateboard. That's a big bonus point for me. And then, as always, I'm going to give a bonus point. Oh, no, big bonus point for MJF. At one point, Santana and Ortiz have the Bucks and Cody held. And here comes MJF with a chair. And they really tease that MJF is going to just nail Cody with this chair. And he doesn't. He saves his best friend. He helps save him. And it makes MJF look like a good guy. And the moment that he actually does screw Cody, whenever it does happen, is going to be delectable. It's going to be so good when it actually does happen. And then I'm going to give a point to Orange Cassidy because I love Orange Cassidy. People hate Orange Cassidy, and I don't get it. It's a great gimmick. He's the laziest man in wrestling. I love it. So good. Minuses, though. There are minuses in AEW. Don't think that I'm just sucking up to AEW. One thing, in the Bucks match, and all matches in AEW, really, but definitely the Bucks match, they do too many near falls. Near falls are great when they're in the end of a sequence leading to a pinfall. But I don't mean pinfall move, pinfall move, pinfall move, which Bucks matches are notorious for. This was not the spot fest, Ricochet, Will Ospreay, Bucks of old match where it's just constant moves for 30 minutes. But toward the end of the match, it got into that rhythm of move, near fall, move, near fall, move, near fall, and it breaks the flow. It makes the match seem a little wonky. And that almost costs them the point against Rush and Gulak. Also going to take off a point for a very scary chair shot to the back of Kenny Omega's head. When after Moxley has taken on Sean Spears, he's facing down Kenny Omega on the ramp. Pat comes up from behind, hits the back of Kenny Omega's head with the edge of a chair, and I don't go for that. We are safer now. We should be safer now, and no dice there. And then let's see. Minus points for NXT. Let's see. You've got four. Bianca Belair's promo after her match. After she beats Dakota Kai, she says Rhea Ripley thinks she's going to be the one to take the title off of Shayna Baszler. Well, I got news for her. That's going to be me. Nobody here can beat me. Shayna Baszler's beaten you at least twice so far, Bianca Belair. Make sense with your promos, WWE. I mean, this, I don't know what you're trying to do, but when she's been beaten so many times by Shayna Baszler, her just coming out and saying, you can't beat me, doesn't fly. She has no new determination. She has no new character. She just thinks that she's better than everybody else, and it doesn't work. Taking off a point for way too many video packages. I mean, at least a third of the show was just video packages hyping up one guy or another, hyping up a show, hyping up NXT on USA, and it didn't fly. Roderick Strong and Boa. No. Roderick Strong and Isaiah Swerve Scott. I have combined two of my minus points here. Roddy needed so much help to beat this guy that just came up through the recruits tournament that it did not make Swerve look good as it was supposed to do, I imagine. It made Roddy look really weak. Didn't work the way it should have. And then the other one, Cameron Grimes versus Boa. I mean, I don't get Cameron Grimes. I don't understand the gimmick. He starts them. They're in the ring. He points up the ramp. Killian Dane is walking down the ramp. The ref rings the bell anyway. He hits the double stomp on, I don't even remember who he's actually wrestling. Pins him 1-2-3 and runs away from Killian Dane. It feels like they were running a minute short and said, hey, guys, go do this. Didn't care for it. Didn't like it. Taking a point off there. So let's look at the scores here. NXT comes up with a total of negative 3 points to AEW's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 7, 6. So 6 to negative 3. AEW wins round 2 of the Wednesday Night Wars. AEW wins Wednesdays. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the Nitro Review in just a second.
Buzz, buzz, guys. My name is Kate Murphy of the Kings of the Ring podcast, and you are listening to Wrestle Addict Radio.
Hey, folks. My name is Mr. Fretz, host of the Fretzelmania podcast, and you are listening to Wrestle Addict Radio.
And we're back. Talking about Monday Nitro from October the 23rd. I just dropped my notebook. Back from Australia, they are heading up for Halloween Havoc the next weekend. Boring show, to be real honest with you. I prefer Nitro with a lot of garbage on it, a lot of decent wrestling with a lot of crap in between. And what I got here was not enough crap and not enough decent wrestling. We'll get to it as soon as I get my notebook to where it needs to go. October 23rd, 2000, a long recap of the week before and the Australian tour, which is great because I haven't watched Nitro in 2 weeks. But then I learned nothing except that they didn't do anything while they were in Australia. Stacy was told she had to reveal the father of her baby because suckers gotta know, according to Stevie Ray. But she said there was only one other person besides David. It may be Buff Bagwell, but it may not be. That's what I got from this recap. Scott Hudson's still not back. I don't know if he ever comes back. Stevie Ray's in commentary now. Meeting Chuck Palumbo with Kevin Nash versus the Harris Brothers. Why? I don't know. This immediately becomes announcers talking about something else when Nash sends out on commentary and badmouths Sean Stasiak the whole match. Palumbo and Stasiak cannot coexist. Stasiak leaves Palumbo in the ring, and he very quickly gets hit with the H-bomb and pinned by at least one of the Harris brothers. Nash gets in the ring to bring back some order. Stasiak chests up against him. Nash literally chokes Sean Stasiak in something you would not see today. Palumbo pulls him off, and that's the end of the segment. Pam is backstage with above-average Mike Sanders. Sanders says that he will beat the Cat at Halloween Havoc. He will be the commissioner, and then he propositions Pam for 3 or 4 minutes of good lovin', which I probably would guess is not that good. Mean, by God, Gene is with Booker. Booker says that he loves the fans, says Steiner can't win the title without killing him. Steiner comes out and yells a bunch of stuff that I didn't really catch, and says that he will win the match at Halloween Havoc. They brawl in the aisle. Jarrett jumps Booker from behind. Sting saves Booker, and the only time we'll see Sting the whole night. The locker room clears. Mike Awesome just goes and punches Scott Steiner right in the face, and we go to commercial. Backstage, we're with Pam. Pam challenges Mike Awesome to a match, calls him a lamb led to slaughter, and baas at Scott Steiner, at Mike Awesome. Scott Steiner pretending to be a sheep at that volume is terrifying. Above average Mike Sanders versus the Young Dragons in a 3-round mixed martial arts exhibition. I guess not mixed martial arts. It's one martial art. It's karate. Sanders has gloves on. He is pouring stuff on him. He is burning the gloves. If you know the term from the old Muhammad Ali days, he puts ether on the gloves. He rubs it in Jamie-san's face. Jamie-san is wobbly, and he knocks out Jamie-san with a single punch. Same thing with Yang, except this time he uses a kick. Before the third match begins, he spills the bottle on the turnbuckle, and when Kaz comes to hit him, he just crams Kaz's face into the turnbuckle, rubs it in real good, makes sure he's good and unconscious, and then he kicks Kaz in the face, pins him 1, 2, 3. Mike Sanders has won 3 matches here on Nitro. Leah Miao gets in the ring to save her men. She goes for a low blow on Sanders. Sanders no-sells it, is wearing a protective cup. And I gotta know, how protective are jockstraps and cups to direct low blows, uppercuts into the ball sack? I would imagine not a whole lot. Sanders pulls the cup out of his pants, fills it with ether, and goes to gas mask Leah Miao. Now, 2 things here. 1, this is despicable. I mean, this is despicable. But secondly, there are holes in this this crotch cup. She will be able to breathe. The ether was running out the bottom of it. Regardless, before they get in there to do that, Miss Jones comes out. She saves Leah Miao from Mike Sanders. Mike Sanders goes to get Miss Jones, but the Cat saves Miss Jones. She puts the James Brown cape on him. They dance. Miss Jones, not the best dancer. Better than a cat. Let's be real honest, but that is that. Sometimes I'll just look at Nitro and I'm like, what am I actually watching? Chronic comes out and says words. I don't remember Chronic cutting to me promos. And maybe I said that last time they cut one, but I don't remember them speaking ever. And for good reason, they suck. And at the time, I remember I was able to distinguish which one was Bryan Adams and which one was Brian Clark. And as I sit here, I mean, literally 4 hours later, I don't remember. Much less, I don't care. Mark Madden, though, did say something interesting. He says, if anyone ever buys this damn company, I'm going to hire Chronic to keep my job. The company's already up for sale. This is their subtle way of telling us that things are not so good in the land of WCW, and we need to start worrying about it. Because this is still 5 months, exactly 5 months, before the end. It's just odd that he's making a statement about someone needing to buy the company. Because it was definitely not common knowledge at this point that WCW was up for sale. 3 Count come to the ring. They have hired Chronic to be bodyguards so they can sing all of their songs. Chronic says no, and then we suddenly have a match instead. 3 Count versus Chronic. Chronic wins in less than a minute. That's right, Chronic beat up 3 guys. in less than a minute. And I didn't write down who they pinned. I think it was Shane Helms. Pam is with Nash backstage. Nash calls out WCW for firing Scott Hall and then books Stasiak in a match versus someone, I presume, will be Goldberg. The Misfits in action come out dressed like Team Canada. Sergeant AWOL is Jim Duggar. Does a great Jim Duggan impression. Chavo is Elix Skipper. Luckily not in blackface, but I would not have put it past WCW in 2000. General Hugh G. Rection is Lance Storm. He does a fine job there. Corporal Cajun is wearing moose antlers and a Canadian hockey jersey. I'm thinking, is he supposed to be Major Guns? And then he says, who am I supposed to be? Am I supposed to be Major Guns? I'm like, all right, great. I'm on the same level as Corporal Cajun here. This was not bad. Wasn't great. Mike Awesome is with Pam backstage. Awesome accepts Steiner's challenge for a match later on this evening. Stasiak versus Goldberg. I couldn't read my own handwriting. Stasiak versus Goldberg. The new, the Natural Born Thrillers abandoned Sean Stasiak for this match. Goldberg pinned Stasiak in 38 seconds. Page 4. Disco Inferno and Alex Wright come out to the ring. They ask the crowd if they know who let the dogs out, and this takes a couple of minutes. How did Disco Inferno get to be to this level? I mean, he's fine in the ring, but I guarantee I can find guys at the Armory next weekend that are just as good. He doesn't talk very well, and he's an idiot. Who did he know that got him to this level? Alex Wright versus Billy Kidman versus Mark Jindrak. Apparently, there's going to be a three-way dance for the tag titles at the pay-per-view with the Boogie Knights, the Filthy Animals consisting of Ray and Billy Kidman, and Jindrak and O'Hare. I just found out this week that O'Hare was dead. I did not know that until I was looking up something about this show and noticed that O'Hare died apparently by his own hand in 2000. That's horrible. But that time period is so full of wrestlers dying that I completely forgot that Sean O'Hare was dead. And I've been talking about Sean O'Hare and Mark Jindrak for a while because they were part of the Invasion storyline and they're part of this storyline. And I just now realized O'Hare was dead. Too many people died during that time. This match is one good minute of wrestling before O'Hare and Disco and Ray get involved. A minute later, Kidman pins Wright with the Kidman, or Kid Crusher, I believe is what he calls it. Then everyone brawls at ringside, and that's that. Nothing happened here. Crowbar, that 70s Crowbar, is backstage with Pam. Crowbar implies, and I'm going to tell you exactly what he said. He said, me and the big man make sure that the hydraulics on the bus are working on the nightly basis. To me, I heard that he and Mike Awesome are banging on a nightly basis. Maybe I'm wrong, and I'm certain I'm supposed to be wrong, but what I absolutely heard was that he and Mike Awesome are banging on the nightly. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Jimmy Hart runs up and tells Crowbar that he's just been booked in the match. That's the most WCW thing of the week. Hey, Crowbar, you've just been booked in a match. We're 3/4 of the way through this show, but hey, they need you for a match right now. And Crowbar just goes, apparently going to wrestle in his leisure suit. A video airs slut-shaming Stacy Keibler and then hyping Buff versus David in a DNA match at Halloween Havoc. What's DNA match? They still haven't told me. Crowbar versus Vampiro. Vampiro comes out, no ICP, no Great Muda, new zombie makeup, looks fantastic. He's carrying nunchucks, like actual hardwood nunchucks. Not as fantastic. He just begins drilling Crowbar with these things. The announcers don't know if it's a hardcore match or not. It turns into a long, boring brawl. And I wrote that 3 minutes in. They went for 5 more minutes after that. This is not technically an announcer's talk about something else match of the night, because what they were talking about was this match. But they get so focused on why Vampiro has chosen Crowbar to beat up in this match, they don't talk about the match. And the big and small of it is this. He didn't choose Crowbar. He was booked in a match against Crowbar at the last minute. So he, you know, luckily his face was painted. He grabbed his britches. He grabbed his nunchucks and he just started hitting guys. Eventually, some druids he borrowed from the Undertaker bring out a double stack of tables. He choke slams them, Crowbar through the tables. The ref calls off the match, and I guess Vampiro's the winner. Vampiro calls out Mike Awesome for nearly killing him with the powerbomb 2 months ago, and makes a match with him at Halloween Havoc. Page 6. Conan and Tigress call out Franchise and Tori. Franchise says he can't wrestle because his elbow is broken. He is casted all the way up to his forearm, so maybe he is actually broken. And but it doesn't stop them from having a match. In a cast, Shane Douglas is wrestling Conan here tonight. This is literally a one-armed man, and the one-armed man beats Conan with a chain punch and the Franchiser in about 3 minutes. Tigress and Tori brawl. Shane Douglas goes to attack Tori, but the rest of the Filthy Animals save Tigress from the Franchise. I, at this point of the show, did not care. They announced the death of Yokozuna. Very sad, but it was 20 years ago. And remember how I said I didn't care? I cared for a second, because Scott Steiner's music plays, and he comes out of the backstage with a tiger. An actual, real-life Bengal tiger that's being held by four people with ropes. One of them is Scott Steiner. The tiger is not into this, because they're still playing Steiner's Siren and Sire's Strobe Light. There's 12,000 people yelling like crazy. The tiger's agitated. This could have gone real Siegfried and Roy in a hurry here. But Steiner, crazy man that he is, just reached over, gives the tiger a good pet. Like, oh, you're a good tiger, you crazy killing machine inside this stadium with a bunch of meat. And he gets in the ring, and the tiger goes away, and that's the last we see of the tiger. Why did this happen? I don't know. Does it ever happen again? Couldn't tell you. But on this night, Scott Steiner had a tiger. And I guarantee WCW paid thousands of dollars to have it there. Wrestling's crazy, man. Mike Awesome comes out. Booker comes out. Booker sits on commentary. For this match, it becomes announcers talking about something at Match of the Night. As Booker and his brother Stevie talk about why was there a tiger in this arena. Medeja blatantly interferes in front of the ref, just kicking Mike Awesome with her huge hooker boots. Steiner eventually locks in the recliner and taps out Mike Awesome, and the show ends 10 seconds later. Nitros were efficient about using up every bit of time they had, going right to the bell before turning off the TV. Was this match any good? It was fine. Am I going to watch Halloween Havoc for next week? I am not. I think, if I'm not mistaken, let's look up the results of Halloween Havoc right now. Just go into the show. We got a couple more minutes before we get to the time limit draw of this episode. Halloween Havoc, the year 2000. My Google autofill just said Halloween Havoc 1999 controversy. We'll take a look at that too, probably. Let's see. Halloween Havoc results. The Natural Born Thrillers, Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare, defeat the Filthy Animals and Billy Kidman and Rey Mysterio and the Boogie Knights to retain the World Tag Team titles in 10 minutes. But that was a cluster of a match. Reno defeated Sergeant AWOL for the WCW Hardcore Championship. I forgot A, that Reno worked here, and B, that they had a hardcore title. The Misfits in Action, Lieutenant Loco and Corporal Cajun defeat Sean Stajak and Chuck Palumbo. Why? You know. Conan and Tigers defeat Shane Douglas and Tori Wilson. The Filthy Animals are listed for, I think, 3 different matches here. Buff Bagwell defeated David Flair in a First Blood DNA match. So clearly the rules must have been that if Buff bled, David was entitled to take whatever blood he lost to get DNA tested to see if he was the father of Stacy's baby. Mike Sanders defeated the Cat in a kickboxing match by countout. How did that possibly happen? Let's see. Next match saw WWE Cruiserweight Champion Mike Sanders face off against WWE Commissioner Ernest Miller in a non-title kickboxing match. Following the second round, Shane Douglas appeared at ringside, which led Miller to fight with him. While the two fought on the outside, Miller lost the match by a cutout, and Sanders became the new commissioner of WWE. Well, that's stupid. Well done. Where was I? Mike Awesome defeated Vampiro. General Rection defeated Lance Storm to win the United States Championship. Good job, General Hugh G. Rection. Jeff Jarrett defeated Sting. Booker T defeated Scott Steiner. And apparently the main event, Goldberg defeated Chronic. Why was this 3-minute and 43-second handicap match higher billing than a 13-minute world title? God, WWE's stupid. Holy crap. And just because I mentioned what was the controversy of 1999's Halloween Havoc, let's see what it was. What did it feature? Goldberg defeated Sting for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. What's the big deal? Did they do Montreal? Final match was Goldberg led the match was non-title. Goldberg was announced as the champion afterwards, and then Sting beat up Charles Robinson. Great. Sting never agreed to defend the title on a pay-per-view, and then the title was vacated. This would lead to the tournament, which I believe would lead to Chris Benoit winning the title and leaving the next day and heading over to WWF. Is that correct? Is it? I believe it's true. I'm just still fact-checking. Why am I doing this? Because I needed a couple minutes to fill at the end of the show. This has been the Gift Podcast. I am the Monday Night Delight. We're at the end of all things here. And, yeah. All said and done, not a bad weekend of... Bret Hart won this title. God dang it, WWE. What the heck? Maybe I should have watched in 1999 first, because I literally stopped watching after the finger poke. So, who cares? I'm the one Night Delight. This has been the Gifted Podcast. I'm freaking done, dude. This Nitro was boring. If they're bad enough to be not boring, the show is actually not too bad. But this show was pretty dang bad. Check out all of our WrestleTic Radio shows, the Kings of the Ring Podcast, the Gifted Podcast, the Not Your Mama Soap Opera, the Game Changer, and... what am I forgetting? The Fourth Wall WrestleCast. Check us out on Twitter at @addict_wrestle and at Gifted Podcast. Check us on Instagram at @addict_wrestle, facebook.com/WrestleAddictRadio, and patreon.com/WrestleAddictRadio. I've had a great time with you. Hope you did too. Have fun watching Raw tonight. I'm not gonna, and I will see you here next week. Bye-bye.